Welcome to Music and Medicine with Dr. Carl Wern. On the first Sunday of each month at this time, Dr. Wern soothes you with classical music and great ideas for living a more healthful life. Now, here is Music and Medicine with Dr. Wern.
This is Dr. Carl Wern, and I'm excited to be presenting a new show on music and medicine. We're going to use as our theme song one of the great melodies of all time. It's the Canon by the famous German composer Pachelbel. He was a contemporary of Johann Sebastian Bach, and actually he taught Johann Sebastian Bach's older brother, who took him in because poor Johann Sebastian Bach's mother and father died when he was relatively young. The great thing about Johann Christoph Bach is that he taught Johann Sebastian, his younger brother, and gave him a great early education in music. Remember, Bach was only 6 or 7 when he started living with his older brother. And Pachelbel, who wrote this famous melody that was sort of hidden until it was rediscovered in the 1960s by Jean-Jacques Payard, he played it, and subsequently, it's been played at almost every other wedding in the history of time since then. Now, Pachelbel wrote this piece probably for his pupil, Johann Christoph Bach, for his wedding in 1694. Though we don't have the manuscript, the only thing we have is a 19th century manuscript of this piece. Now, the very interesting thing part of this piece is that it was a canon, and a canon means that something that's played repetitively, where each instrument plays the same part delayed in time. And there's the basso continuo, the cello, which plays the same 2-bar segment ad infinitum. It's also very interesting is that the canon, or the passacaglia, came from South America at the turn of the 16th century. It was a sexy dance that was played by the Spanish who inhabited South America, and they brought it back to Europe in the mid-16th century. Well, the only thing you have to know about this piece of music is that I remember it for all time because I came to a beautiful wedding that was on a lawn by a lake, and we started playing it early before the wedding, and we had to play it for a half an hour because the rest of the musicians didn't show up for another 20 minutes. So I had to play this two measure bar for like 45 minutes, and I almost strangled the cello. This piece, Pachelbel Canon, is a piece of music that uses a 2-measure bass line ostinato, and it's a polyphonic device with the voices above this who play the same music over different periods of time. In canon, which means that the first violin plays it, then the same theme is played by the second violin, and it's for 3 violins with a basso continuo, which usually the cello plays the bass part. It was written probably between 1685 and 1694, and was probably performed at the wedding of his pupil, Johann Christoph Bach. It's a beautiful melody that was introduced in the 1960s by Jean-François Payard and his chamber orchestra, and it hit the top of the charts and now is played at almost every other wedding in the Western world. Let us listen together to this beautiful piece. It's for orchestra. It's called Reflections on Nature, Pachelbel in Harmony with the Sea. Thank you. I would like to quote Mel Brooks. He was such a passionate person. He's still alive at 98. When his music director, John Morris, died, he said in 2018, and John Morris died at 91, is that the importance of music, it makes you feel. And feeling good is the entrance to good health. There's a lot of things we talk about: eating right, exercising right, and avoiding smoking and the bad things in life. And I think that music makes you feel good, and you don't have to eat too much or smoke or drink too much alcohol, because listening to music makes you feel good. There's no question that music improves your memory. You take a group of people who listen to Mozart and a group of people who don't listen to Mozart, and what happens? The people who listen to Mozart score 10 to 15% higher on the test a day or two later. We know that musicians, in large part, if they aren't starving to death, they live longer than a lot of other people. Just as an example, all my teachers lived into their 80s. All my cello teachers lived into their 80s. One of the first cellists that I ever met, he was the cellist in the Amadeus String Quartet, and I auditioned for him when I went to Aspen in 1964, Peter Lovett. He died at 97 this past year because he got COVID. And I think a testimony to all the people in the 20th century, we've had so many major artists performing into their 60s, 70s, and 80s. For example, Arthur Rubinstein didn't put down his piano chops until he was 88 because he went blind. One of the reasons the longevity of conductors is because they're in charge and they tell everybody else what to do, and they themselves are immune to all the anxieties and problems that most of us feel every day. There's a famous story, one of the first great conductors in the 19th century, Hans von Bülow, who became very prominent, was a good friend of Wagner. But he told his musicians often to stand up and play. They had to memorize the lines. And of course, there was the famous Toscanini, who was conducting into his 90s. He told everybody what to do, including one of his second violin players who was having an affair. And he said, if you don't stop the affair, you get kicked out of the orchestra. He didn't stop the affair, and the guy lost his job with the NBC Symphony. Hans von Bülow had a beautiful wife, Cosima, who was the daughter of the famous Liszt, one of the greatest pianists in the history of the world. Unfortunately, Hans von Bülow didn't know, when Wagner was asking him to come visit all the time, that Wagner was not really interested in Hans von Bülow, but his wife. And about 2 years after Cosima met Wagner, they eloped and got married. As Mel Brooks said, music makes us feel, and I think musicians are in touch with their feelings, and that leads to a certain burst in creativity and allows the mind to open up completely. Part of the reason music therapy works is that it organizes the mind. There was a very interesting lady who was the instrument for the development of the Leeds piano competition that in the 1960s became one of the most famous competitions in the world. She had been a pianist and a very fine one in England, but she decided to acquiesce to her husband's needs, who was an extremely wealthy businessman, and she raised children. But she, in the 1960s, developed the Leeds Festival, and Maury Pariah, Rado Lapu, some of the greatest musicians of the 20th century, won that prize and went on to great careers. But she just died in the last year or so. She said that music makes you focus on time. Every second, your mind has to be alert. It, like, to the rhythm, the notes, the dynamics, and this exquisite combination of making you a focus on a number of things at the same time makes your mind extremely facile and effective.
Thank you.
We just finished with this magnificent piece by Piazzolla, Oblivion, The End of Time. And we're going to go in a new direction, in a new part of the time clock. We're going to go to nighttime. Nighttime is a big theme in the composition of medicine. And for example, the greatest set of variations ever created in the history of music were the Bach-Goldberg variations. And it's called Goldberg because Goldberg was a count who couldn't go to sleep at night. And he asked Bach to write a musical composition that would help him sleep. And Bach only wrote one set of variations that he composed. There are 32 variations, and Goldberg was so happy to get this piece, he gave Bach a huge container with 1,000 gold florins, the most Bach was ever paid for any piece he wrote. We can talk about the medical aspects of nighttime, because as we get older, we don't sleep well. And it's said by most doctors, you need 6 to 8 hours of sleep at night to stay healthy and also to avoid some of the problems of depression, heart disease, if you get a good sleep. I'm going to play a piece called Nocturne, which means night music. We also know that, of course, that Mozart wrote a lot of music for night. And there's a famous music called A Little Night Music by Stephen Sondheim. But we will go to Tchaikovsky. This is a nocturne that he wrote originally for piano, but then he transcribed it for Fitzenhagen, who was the chief cellist in the Imperial Orchestra in Russia in the 1880s. The interesting thing about this piece is that it was not published in the West, and only after the Gorbachev Revolution did this piece come to the West. Let us listen to the Nocturne by Tchaikovsky, a most beautiful and heart-rending piece.
Thank you.
the movement in time is that we feel that we are moving as we listen to the music. And of course, we all know that people can't dance without music. And so I'm going to play a piece that's about movement, and it's a very famous piece of music, and it was written by Camille Saint-Saëns. And the funniest thing about this piece is that it was written as part of the Carnival of the Animals. And Saint-Saëns wrote this Carnival of the Animals in the 1880s, and he had just finished a huge trip concertizing throughout Europe, and it was a disastrous financial failure. He comes back to Paris. He wants to do something that's unusual, and he writes the Carnival of the Animals. But he said point blank, this cannot be published in my lifetime except for the piece called The Swan. And I know it was published in his lifetime because my favorite Russian writer, Anton Chekhov, talks about hearing The Swan in the 1890s. I have a particular affection for The Swan for two reasons. One, it was the first piece I played in public when I was 12 and a half at the New England music camp. And I remember this very pointedly because I was ready to play. I'm 12 years old, but I never walked on a stage before, and I refused to go on the stage. And for 2 or 3 minutes, the people in charge of the contest were screaming at me, "You got to get out and play." And finally, they pushed me out of the stage, and there I went and played. And it was very good because later that summer, I became a junior honor musician. But the other reason I like this piece a lot is because when Carnegie Hall was resuscitated and kept alive by Isaac Stern, they had a memorial concert of all the famous people in the world playing at Carnegie Hall. I went to that concert and I saw Dame Margaret Fontaine, one of the most famous ballerinas of all time. She was in her early 50s at that time, and she danced The Swan. And here, my friends, is one of the most beautiful pieces of music and melodies, and it's a dance form, The Swan by Camille Saint-Saëns. Thank you. I think the most important thing about music is that sometimes it gives us a unique condition in life where we don't feel time. It's become timeless. There's an incredible 2.5-hour documentary on Sladislav Richter, the great Russian pianist, and Glenn Gould, the famous Canadian pianist who met him a number of times, talks about Sladislav Richter playing a piece by Schubert that Gould really didn't like. He really doesn't like Schubert, he explains. But he said he heard when he was in Moscow in 57, when he gave a performance there, he came to the concert at the main auditorium in Moscow, and he heard Richter play this Schubert sonata. That's the longest Schubert sonata ever written, and Richter played it very slowly, and Glenn Gould says, "I was in a trance. All of a sudden, I realized why Schubert had written such a great piece." And now, I am going to play a piece by Mendelssohn that is one of the greatest piano trios of all time. I'm going to play it myself, a cello, and I'm going to play with Susan Walters, one of the great pianists in the world, who is the main pianist for the New York City Ballet. And the violinist is Robin Bushman, who was concert mistress of the Brooklyn Philharmonia and is the concert mistress of St. Luke's, two famous organizations in New York City. We recorded this in 2009 in two recording sessions in New York City. And it really is mainly a great recording because of Susan, who at the age of 10.5 went to Curtis and was incredibly gifted. Now let us hear this fabulous piece that Schumann, when he heard it, says one of the greatest pieces of all time. The Mendelssohn Piano Trio in D minor, the first movement, Allegro. classical musician and I love classical music, but I hate to admit that I love the Beatles, and a lot of their songs are some of the greatest songs, I think, of the 20th century. And also, I'm sort of partial to some of their songs because they use string quartets and string instruments in a lot of their songs, Eleanor Rigby, etc. I am going to play the last piece on this program, a tribute to beauty, time, and the timeless, with Paul McCartney singing Yesterday.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why? Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. Something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
This has been an exciting program for me, and I hope it's been exciting for you. And it's going to be even more exciting next month when we talk about romance in music, because it's Valentine's Day coming up. And thank you for listening. Please tune in to Music and Medicine.
You've been listening to Music and Medicine with Dr. Carl Wern over WRAX 106.5 FM and 1600 AM. Join us again on the first Sunday of every month for Music and Medicine right here on RAX 106.5. If you'd like to hear this program again, visit BedfordCountyRadio.com. See you next time on Music and Medicine.